Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you all. And again, for those that are visiting, thank you for coming to be with us this morning. Again, I want to welcome you to the Northeast County of the Garden State Church of the New York City. I know that is way too much. I'm just messing with us. I don't want to confuse us here. But, I don't have a picture, but I heard on Thursday night there was a wedding. And I understand Matt Rupert did his second wedding of Vinny and Ziamara. That is super exciting. And I wish I had a picture to show you all. But they'll be back here next week. And on deck on November 12th is Rob Bedoin and Shan Calderon. Why don't you guys stand up? They're getting married in 3 weeks. Amen. Now, I know some of us have been wondering, you know, I see some new faces here in the room. Well, there's a brother that has moved here to be a part of our Edge ministry, who was a part of the church in Haiti. And so I want to welcome him to the Northeast County, Mr. Franz Louis. Stand on up. Yeah, this is our brother Franz. Who is here to be a part of the Northeast ministry. Welcome, my brother, and it's great to have you here. So last week, we talked about faith used only as directed. You guys remember that? Well, today we're going to continue with that theme, and I want to ask you to turn your Bibles to James chapter 1. We're going to stay in James here as we meet together, probably two more messages after that. But again, it is just great to be together. I want to thank our AV team, our worship team. Thank you so much. Lee, thank you for taking us to the cross, and Glory, Mama Glow, and Leslie for welcoming us and just beginning in a time of prayer. So let's read this passage together, and then we're going to jump right on in and hear what God has to say to us. James chapter 1, verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, here in the Northeast County of the Garden State Church of the New York City Church of Christ. It's in the footnote. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position. Let's skip down to verse 12. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let's pray together. Our God in heaven, we are so grateful that we have a letter here from our dear brother James to encourage us, to remind us of what it looks like to live by faith and not by sight. God, I pray as we study your word this morning that you would move in our hearts. Help us to not think about our neighbor, to not think about our spouse, to not think about anybody else, but to really look at ourselves, look at our faith. And Father, I pray that you will help give us the insight to develop the kind of convictions that would see things the way that you want us to see them. We love you. We thank you. And we pray all of this in your son, Jesus' name. Amen. So the theme of the book of James, we said, was faith without deeds is useless. To say I believe, to say Jesus is Lord, to say God Almighty, and do nothing, he says it's useless. That believing all the right stuff, knowing, okay, here's how you become a Christian. Hey, here's what it means to repent. Hey, here's what it means to share your faith. Having all the right stuff, singing all the right songs, knowing all the words. But if you're not going to do anything with your faith, James says you might as well not even believe. So he's written this book to us in the Bible, and it's all about how to do your faith. And as we just read here in this passage, James says, you know, and again, I'm not adding to the Bible, but I'm kind of, you know, putting my little twist here. He says, you know, let's start with the tough stuff. Because if they can get this, then everything else kind of flows. And he says, you know, if you and I are to have an active faith, and it's going to make a difference in our day and in our day-to-day living, he says, you have to start out with something. Consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. And I say to that, joy, trial does not match. Who is joyful about trials? But see, we must understand something. And whether, again, you're on Zoom or you're here in the room, and I want you to hear this. God is so, concerned, and yet he is very determined to make sure you and I have faith. Our faith is so important to him that he's going to actually do things and allow things in your life and in my life to develop faith. Your faith is worth more than gold. And so he starts out here to say, hey, consider it pure joy as you face trials of many kinds, because the testing of your faith develop perseverance. And it brings me to my point. And the pointer is not working. All right, there we go. Thank you. First point, view trials as coming from God. That's a big decision. Or that God's allowing this into my life for a reason. And as a Christian, the reason ultimately, he's trying to build my faith. He's trying to develop something in me. It's not because I sin and I'm being punished. It's not because he's bad and he's mad. It's not because, well, you know, you did this, so I'm going to, you know, zing you. I used to think God was like that. And it's interesting because in that time, people thought that if bad things were happening to you, that you must have done something. And therefore, if good things were happening to you, well, then you were blessed. And it's not true. See, faith is like a muscle. In order to build a muscle, come on, what do you got to do? That's right. You have to exhaust it. Not just, you know, a couple of hair here, you know, you over here, and you're doing all of that. You only did 3 reps. But that's how we are, right? Man, we want to look like Spain after 2 days of training. Yes, I just revealed the motives in my mind and heart. No. Our Heavenly Father is interested in His children having a strong, enduring faith. And because of that, He is going to allow things to happen in our lives to stretch our faith. So that when it's said and done, you have an active, living, strong faith. Are you with me, church? See, it puts trials in perspective for a Christian. This isn't just happening to me because of something random. God is testing me. And you know, James, who's the half-brother of Jesus, was acquainted with trials. He was writing to a group of people who were Jews who had become Christians. And because of that decision, that brought trials into their lives. You got to realize they now decided and believed that Jesus was the Messiah. Well, that changed everything for them and in that culture. In fact, they were outcast in the synagogue. They were persecuted. They were losing their homes. They were losing their reputation. They were losing their families. And what began to happen is they began to question God. Where are you, Lord? Why is this happening to me? I thought you were good. By the way, I've prayed every day. I've had my quiet time. I give to the contribution. I'm doing the things that you want me to do, and life is tough. Can you give a brother a break? Right? So these Christians were coming to the conclusion that there was something wrong with them, or there was something wrong with God. So James writes these words for us. James is trying to give us perspective. He says, I want to help you. When you encounter trials of many kinds, you need to consider it a time of joy. What? Because God works in adversity. God is all about trying to develop something in us. And guess what? If things are going great, amen. Enjoy it while it lasts. But if you and I are going to have persevering faith, if we're going to be strong in our faith, then we have to see these things happening to us and not go, oh God, we're, you know. All right, Lord, if you do this, then I'll do that. And start doing this bargain thing. So, as we look at the passage here, look at verse 3. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. You know what perseverance is? Another word that's used sometimes is endurance. But the bottom line is, I don't quit. I don't give up. I don't say, oh man, you guys are going through stuff. I'm out of here. This ain't for me. This is not this. This is this church. Me. Yeah, we do. We got issues just like everybody else. But we don't quit because of what's going on around us. The perspective is that God is trying to develop something inside of you and me. But see, some of us are like, Russ, that sounds great, but I got a story. See, you need to listen to what's happened to me. You need to hear how I've been treated, and by leadership. You got to hear my story. And if you hear my story, this doesn't really apply to me. See, it's okay for me to be mad, unhappy, grudge, attitude, because I've been hurt deeply. And here's what I'm not minimizing that. I'm asking you to hear what James is saying. Because when you stop applying the Bible to your life, you are in trouble. When this does not apply to you because of your circumstance and your situation, you got to realize what you're saying. God, you're not bigger than this problem. What has happened to me is beyond you. Turn your Bibles to Genesis 50. Genesis 50, verse 19. Are you with me, church? All right. Genesis 50, verse 19. And here at the end of Joseph's life, I appreciate Lee, you know, bringing this up earlier. That's my favorite story in the scriptures. And Joseph is, man, he's been through a lot of stuff. And now his brothers see that his dad has died, and they think Joseph is surely going to sock it to us. He's going to repay us for all the stuff we did wrong to him. And you know, we're in trouble. But listen to Joseph's words. Verse 19. But Joseph said to them, do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me. That's right. You harmed me. You did it purposefully. You intended to harm me. You know what? I don't think people intend to harm us. Not like this. But guess what? Sometimes we feel like that. We really believe you intended to harm. I don't think that's the case. Most of the time it's unintentional. Or you're seeing that person's sinful nature coming out. But these guys, Joseph said, no, you intended it. But God, hear that? Here's the problem. But God intended it for good. What? You were sold into slavery. You were put in the dungeon. You were forgotten. What's the good in that? To accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Joseph learned how to view trials as coming from the hand of God. Do you understand how that changes everything? If you and I learn how to view things from this perspective, It changes everything. Nobody can stop you. Nobody can cause you to stop doing God's will. Nobody can stop you from loving God. Nobody can stop you and hurt you to the point that you give up and say, well, there is no God. It changes everything. What can man do to you if you view trials as coming from God? But we got to remember the goal. From God's perspective, the Holy Spirit spoke through James when he wrote this. God is allowing things to happen to develop your character. And I'm going to say this. Some of us have gotten so comfortable, we don't want to get up off the couch, or we don't want to make a phone call because we're comfortable. We come in the house, we start looking for the remote, and we freak out. We look and scramble, because I do it. Where's the remote? I need a little relaxation. I need to watch The Good Doctor. That's my show. I love Sean. Why is he mature and complete? See, God used trials to make Joseph mature and complete. See, I realize all the time, God's just showing me myself. And guess what? It's not to get down. I'm not mature and I'm not complete. Well, you've been a Christian for 30-something years. I'm still maturing, and I'm not complete. You had an argument with your kid. I'm not mature, and I'm not complete. Don't get discouraged. Get humble. You're not mature, and you're not complete. To the kids out there, your parents are not mature and not complete. Parents, your kids are immature, but yet they think they know everything. All right, I'm off track here. See, I don't know where God's working in your life right now. I don't know if it's in your marriage. I don't know if it's in your parenting. I don't know if it's in your jobs or whatnot, your finances, with your health. But what do? And how do you respond when things happen? Just last night, I was at a banquet for my high school. Our basketball teams got inducted into the Bridgewater Hall of Fame. But what happened, thank you. What happened was I was sitting there and my brother is on this committee. And so he was all involved and he goes, oh yeah, by the way, grandma was admitted to the hospital last night. What? That stopped I stopped eating. And I looked at him and I said, what are you talking about? And that fear rose up, the anxiety, because, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. And grandma goes. And I just remember thinking, okay, wow, that's a hot button in my life. Seeing loved ones going through things. You know, as Christians, we learn to run to God when things get tough, right? We learn to depend on him when we're going through challenges. And we come to the end of ourselves and say, you know what, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm done. I can't do this. I need you. And he's like, I got you exactly where I want you to be. Do you realize sometimes if you had a wrinkle-free life, what you would be like? You may not pray as desperately. You may not read your Bible as if these are the words to save your life. See, I believe trials help us stay dependent on Him. And you and I need to rejoice in those times. It's amazing how our attitude changes when we really see our need for God. When we look at life and realize, I can't do this. And we bow down and we humble out and we go to our God. Trials and troubles can keep us on our knees. Are you willing to see trials in testing of your faith? Are you willing to see trials as a testing of your faith and that God is trying to complete you and develop your character? Now, go back to James, because in that passage here, let's keep reading. James 1. If all that messes you up, look at what James says. Verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. You know, the other part of this is we need to ask God for wisdom. See, when you get messed up with, oh, what's going on with me? The bottom's dropping out. God, where are you at? God, what's going on? That should lead you as a Christian. And even if you're not a Christian, to ask God for wisdom. And this is what James is teaching us. He says, okay, you know, I understand. You know, trials, joy, doesn't make sense. But guess what? You can ask God for wisdom. See, four facts about God that encourages me to ask for wisdom. Number one, God is a giving God. Giving to those who ask from Him is natural for God. Secondly, God is generous to all. The Bible says He has no favorite recipients of His gifts, but gives to all classes, races, all types of people. Thirdly, God gave without finding fault. Amen for that. He doesn't give in such a way as to humiliate us. He doesn't chastise us for our failures or hold our unworthiness against Him. He is ready to add new blessings to old ones without finding fault in us for our many shortcomings. Finally, God promises to answer those who come seeking wisdom. See, sometimes we don't know because we don't ask. And to be quite frank, some of us think we are really that smart that we can figure it out on our own. So we don't pray. We plan. We get out the, what's that called? We don't really use day timers anymore. What's the one? Time tree. Is that time tree? Yeah. Time what? Yeah. But that's what we try to do. We try to control, like, oh, yeah, I know. You know, I talked to a team one time, and, he's telling me this stuff. I said, where'd you learn that? He said, TikTok. I said, what? TikTok. You learn anything on TikTok. You learn about this. You can fix a car. You can build a house. You can do this. You can do that. You don't need TikTok. Tell you exactly how to do it. okay. And that might be true. But asking God for wisdom, I think it's a better choice. Now, James defines wisdom. Turn to chapter 3 in James. James, turn to chapter 3, verse 13. Let's read this together. I think this is really, really important. Look at what he says. Verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy, selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven, hear it, the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. You see, James gives you and I an illustration. Hey, this is what wisdom looks like. And sometimes we can think we're being wise and we're actually being foolish. We are literally leaning on our own understanding. And we've not asked God, what should I do about this situation? How should I see this? Which direction should I go? Go back to James chapter 1. I'm going to land this plane here. James 1, let's finish up here. In verse 6, he says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Now, you know, you read that at face value and you go, oh, wow. So if I doubt, then I'm unstable in all I do? Kinda. What he's talking about is the person who, when everything is going great, the Lord is awesome. And then the trial comes and it's like, I don't know if I believe in God. I don't know if he exists. You understand? It's not nagging little doubts we're talking about here. There's an extreme that's going on that he's talking about. Sometimes we read the Bible and we get that, and now we're like, oh, if I doubt, then this is what that means. Not exactly. Okay? See, James is encouraging us that when we have doubts or not, you gotta go to God. You gotta seek him out. Our prayers for wisdom must not alternate between faith and unbelief. You get that? It can't alternate between that. We must endure and the confidence that God will answer our request according to his will and according to his time. But again, we have to have that faith that goes to him to say, you know what you're doing. You know what's going on. I need help to just trust you. I need help to stay with you. Keep going. All right. Verse 12. James says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. You know, I love this passage because there's a double result that's promised to those who faithfully endure their trial. The Bible calls them blessed. It's the same term that appears in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 through 3 through 12. It describes an inner quality of joy resting in God and unaffected by external events. In other words, I'm not happy as long as everything is going my way. I'm not secure and I'm not confident because it's working out the way I wanted it to work out. This joy, this blessedness comes from knowing that whether things are going great or things are going terrible, I'm trusting my God. And he is still with me and he's working on me. He's developing something with me. Lord, what are you trying to show me? Okay, got it. I'm sorry. Lord, what are you trying to show me? You get it? Give me wisdom. Help me see this the way that you want me to see it. The second blessing is this gift from God, the crown of life. You know, a crown during that time, you know, rulers wore crowns, but this was more like a garland wreath given to the victor in an athletic contest. See, God's reward to us for faithfully enduring trials, it's not a position of royalty over others. Rather, it's recognition from God for spiritual victory. See, we're going to get to heaven one day, and some people are going to be crowned because of that faithfulness, that they stood the test of time. And I want you to just think about that for a minute, because when you are a disciple and you live your life and you die in Christ, man, the Bible says here's what you have to look forward to. And he writes it. It's a city. There's a room. I mean, it's like all of this amazing stuff. But the biggest, most awesome part of it all is that you get to dwell with God. And you know, sometimes it is so easy for us to forget about all of that. To forget about the cross. God loved you and I so much. He went to the extreme to show you how much he loves you. Not only that, he arranged things in your life to put you in the position that you are in so that you can be met, that you can hear the word that you thought, oh, well, I can just do this and be right with God. And then you say, oh, well, that ain't even in the Bible. And then he shows you the truth and you're like, oh, my goodness. And then you prayed that prayer and you're like, Lord, send her to me. Send him to me. And he's like, okay. And blam, and there you go. And he gives you this awesome relationship that translated into an awesome marriage. And now you got beautiful kids. And all is right with the world. And that's on this side. You know, we should be so grateful, right? I know it's embarrassing sometimes. I can get so inundated in issues that I'm not fired up about my own salvation. You ever been there? It's not even your problem. Somebody else's issue. And I'm like, how did this happen? All right, I gotta unplug for a minute here. Lord, help a brother out. See, the challenge is this. Are you willing to look at your trials from a different lens? And when you do that, you gotta ask God some questions. Lord, help me understand. Help me know what you're trying to do here. help me see, give me wisdom so that I can persevere and stay faithful. Because when it's all said and done, man, God expects that. You and I stay faithful. That you and I persevere. Because guess what? The world is watching. They haven't seen faith. They've seen religious people all the time. But when people are going through challenges and trials and they maintain that joy, they maintain that conviction, they continue to be who Jesus calls them to be, that is undeniable. There is something different going on inside of you. See, God uses trials to produce staying power in us to endure. And for those who seek it, God provides wisdom to understand trials. And see, whether we're rich, whether we're poor, that doesn't matter. We can find encouragement to rejoice with where we are in life, because not only what's going on, but what is to come. And I want to again remind us, God promises a reward for each and every one of this year, a crown that will last forever. Brothers and sisters, let's take hold of what God's given us. Faith, used only as directed, according to God's word. Amen? Amen.